I was so excited when Kathy called me and she shared the scripture verse of what it is that I get to speak on today. And although it's a difficult topic, it's one that I'm really passionate about. And so, I mean, I just prayed and I was like, okay, Lord, if this is what I'm meant to share, and please just start dropping things into my heart. And I mean, I could say almost instantly, there were just things that the Lord was downloading. And so I called Kathy back and I was like, okay, I'll do it. So let's pray before we start. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, just for this incredible opportunity that we get to come together as women and sit at your feet, Lord God. Jesus, we love you and we need you, Lord God. I just pray that you would do a radical work in our hearts, Lord God. And even as we just dive into your word and study together, that you would change us to be more like you, Lord. We love you, Father. I pray that you would help me to lay aside everything of myself, Lord Jesus, that you would just speak what it is that you need to say to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you guys would turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10. It says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body." So today my theme is the manifested life of Christ, which I said is by no means an easy subject, learning what it is to carry around that death of Christ so that the life of Christ may live. And as you can imagine, I think for us, when we get up to teach, we always are the ones that have to learn the lessons first. And I think the Lord has presented multiple opportunities for me to die to my flesh in these last few weeks. And it's been like, seriously, Lord, okay, another one. But so I am learning this with you as well. But firstly, what I wanted to do is take a peek at who Jesus was. What was his day-to-day life like? What was his character? And we know from Scripture that he was full of love and compassion, no matter how exhausted he was. I love when you read and it just speaks about how, you know, Jesus just ministered and healed the sick and carried on. And then he retreats to go and pray, but then he sees the crowd and it says, and he was filled with compassion. We know that Jesus was patient and long-suffering. He was a man of prayer and carved out time alone to seek his Father. Jesus' sole purpose was to glorify the Father. He was humble and servant-hearted and not self-seeking. Jesus was submitted to authority, and his death on the cross was in full obedience and submission to the Father's will. Luke 22, verse 42 says, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's when, as you know full and well, where Jesus is saying, "Father, this is hard. Please, can you take this cup from me? But not my will, but yours be done." We know Jesus was a kind man and that he cared for the needs of others. Acts 10, verse 38 tells us that Jesus was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. He healed the sick, cast out demons, freed the oppressed. John 1, 14 tells us that he was full of grace and truth and that he dwelt among us. He was a man of wisdom and discernment and understanding. He was pure and undefiled, and there was no unrighteousness found in him. People marveled at his knowledge of the scriptures, and he was passionate and zealous for the house of the Lord. He encouraged and built up those around him. He loved the lost, and he wanted them found. He never doubted, but trusted the Father. And he was anointed, and we know that God the Father says he was always with him. And although Jesus was betrayed by those closest for him and wrongfully accused, he did not open his mouth to defend himself. He was faithful even unto death and is now seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and me. Isn't that such an incredible list? I mean, and honestly, you guys, that's just scratching the surface. You know, there's so much more of who Jesus was and his day-to-day walk. And I think a lot of us might think, well, that's a crazy list. I can never live up to that. And perhaps, you know, this list might only be for some Christians, or perhaps it's only, you know, for our pastors or the leaders or those that have been called, you know. But I want to point out to you that in this chapter that Paul is speaking to the entire Corinthian church, and that we don't want to miss out on all that Jesus has for us in applying his life to ours, you know. I think the enemy likes to think that we would isolate ourselves from that and be like, well, that's a higher calling for those maybe who have sought that type of life. But it is for all Christians, for all of us to walk in that way. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 says, "With minds that are alert, set your hope on the coming of the Lord Jesus. Do not be conformed to the desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but be holy, for I am holy." There is truly a call to death and to holiness for all of us. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection, which is life from the dead." Take note as well that when Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church in this passage, that he's speaking about having this life amidst hardship and persecution, amidst being struck down, in feeling crushed and hunted down. And I think oftentimes we see this abundant life in Christ and we think, yeah, when times are good, it does feel abundant, it does feel good. But this was specifically speaking about the times of hardship, that we get to apply that life of Christ in us even through the hardest of trials. You know, we have the peace instead of doubt. It's that song that says, "I'm trading my sorrows," you know, and we get to make that trade with the Lord. We also need to understand that in these trials that God works maturity into our lives, and how often when we are faced with these hard circumstances, that how we respond is a big indicator, that initial response as to where our hearts are with him. You know, James says, "Consider it pure joy, my friends, when you face trials of various kinds," and perhaps not quite the joy that we had in mind, right? But we need to understand that we really have all of these trials in order for the Lord to develop a greater depth in us. Our society will tell us the complete opposite. Our society and today, I mean, the media just screams it so loudly everywhere you turn, that we get to live the life we want. You know, the here and the now. I was walking downtown Franklin, where we live. It's a really cute old town, and there was this storefront, and in it just said, this big sign that says, "Do what makes you happy." And I just thought, oh, really? You know? But that's our society. I mean, if you think about it, we're so consumed with ourselves. Now, please hear my heart in this. I was just going to mention, you know, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves. But it's such a symbol. It's so symbolic of how consumed we are with ourselves. You know, it's like, click selfie. This is me brushing my teeth. Like, click selfie. You know, it's me 5 minutes from now, and click selfie. This is me driving. You know what I mean? And it's just going, seriously? Like, I mean, sometimes there've been people that I've subscribed to on Instagram, you know, and every once in a while I'm just going, I can't handle it. Like, I love you guys, but I cannot stand to see another photo. It's like, it's just so symbolic of us being completely consumed with ourselves. And we've given each other the freedom to do that. You know, we've given each other the freedom that's okay. And it's not okay. Now, the Lord can use those tools to bring himself glory. We can use them to reach out. It's amazing that the message gets across so far and wide. But we need to be using those things for the right reasons, you know, not for us to get more and more consumed with ourselves and more distracted. If you think about who Jesus is, he's so contrary to that. It was all about the glory being deflected and sent back to the Father, you know. And Jesus, as our King and our Master, stooped down to wash the dirt off his disciples' feet. I mean, it's just amazing. Scripture tells us that Jesus came to serve and not to be served. In Mark 8:34, I'm sure it's a scripture that you guys are all familiar with and know well. But he says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's a very, very key thing. He's saying, whoever desires to come after me. Once again, it's not just a message that might be for the elect or for some few people on this side. It's for all of us, that we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Elizabeth Elliot, there's a quote from her that says, "To be a follower of one who was nailed to a cross means sooner or later a personal encounter with that cross. And the cross always entails loss." Jesus gave up everything in order that he might bring us to God. The cross means sacrifice. I love the mental picture I've heard before that somebody was saying the cross is symbolic of anything that cuts across our preferences. You know, we have all of our preferences and our rights, and the cross just comes and just cuts right across that. And I love that. It's just amazing that we have to partake in that in our walk with the Lord, you know. I know oftentimes it is difficult because we cannot control the things that come into our lives. We can make decisions to protect ourselves. We can make decisions to set guards about ourselves, but we can't control what other people do. Kind of a bummer sometimes, but we often are subjected to the decisions that other people around us make, you know. But the one thing that we can control is the decisions and how we respond in each circumstance. We do get to make those choices. And so what is your cross? What is the form of what it is presented to you? You know, perhaps it's with your husband. Perhaps you have a difficult marriage. Maybe it's prodigals, children. Maybe it's just stress. Maybe it's a job. Chores at home, never-ending chores. Toddlers, teenagers, you know, trusting the Lord in your finances, school perhaps, college. Whatever that next thing is that you have to do, that's our cross, you know. Sometimes we can get very overwhelmed when we look at our circumstances, but we need to just stop and always ask the Lord, okay, Father, what is it that you're trying to show me in this? What is my cross in this moment? We can get so focused, and the enemy wants to get us stuck in circumstances when something wrong has been done to us. He gets us focused on our pain, and we forget all of who Jesus is. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, we forget that Jesus was the fourth man in the fire, and he's in that for us. You know, he's our fourth man in the fire. He never turns a blind eye to the situations we may find ourselves in. He's not quiet. You know, I mean, he is quiet sometimes, but I mean in that he is our defense. You know, and so we always have to remember that we can learn and grow through all of these things. Recently, Jeremy and I had a little run-in. Shocking, I know. And it was totally my fault, I'll be honest. I was reacting in my flesh, and so my mom-in-law is one of my favorite people on the planet. I love her, and she's one of my best friends, and so I was relaying the situation to her, and she just said to me, she goes, you know, I mean, and this is, she's so gracious in the way she's able to communicate the most blunt truths very gently. She said to me, she goes, you need to learn to respond and not to react. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, because in that moment with Jeremy, he presented a situation to me and I just totally reacted. And it was just my flesh rising up, you know. And so it was just one of those things that I was like, we need to learn to respond and not to react. And honestly, sometimes we need to learn to not even respond as well. You know, like I said earlier, when they accused him, he kept his mouth shut completely, and he didn't even respond. And so sometimes I think, especially for us as women, you know, we have a special connection with the Holy Spirit, and so that there's times where, you know, I know for me too, it's like I have to learn, for one, to respond and not to react, and sometimes just to stop and pray and maybe see that the situation doesn't even need my response at all. You know, sometimes we may question God as to why things happen to us, or perhaps we question as to why things have not happened for us. But every circumstance and every situation is a tool for us to be refined and to be changed, to be more like him. Like that scripture says, to carry in us the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may live. And sometimes we have a habit of blaming it on the enemy when honestly, it's not warfare, it's our flesh, you know? Let's just call it as it is. It's like, oh, that's just spiritual warfare. And please don't get me wrong, that I absolutely think that there is a lot of warfare, and we know the enemy, but we mustn't give him the credit where, honestly, it's an area where the Lord's trying to say, that's not the enemy, it's actually me, you know? And I'm trying to pull that out of you. About a month ago, I was flying to meet Jeremy, I don't usually leave the kids. I usually take them on the road with us, and which is part of one of the reasons why we homeschool. But I was flying to meet him for a show, and I found out the night before that I was going to have to climb into the car with a complete stranger and drive for 1.5 hours until we got from the airport to the venue. And we had just come out of a hard season. Some extended family of ours are going through a lot. And to be honest with you, I was tired, and I just thought, ugh, the last thing I want to do is climb into the car and be like, hi, you know. I thought, well, maybe I'll just grab a book and I'll just sit in the back and read. And then I was like, oh, I can't do that. That would be so rude. I would never, you know, I can't do that. Well, anyway, the Lord just kind of prodded my heart, and I thought, oh, Father, I'm so sorry. My eyes are totally on myself. And maybe this is a divine encounter from you, you know. And so I texted Jeremy and I said, because I had kind of said to him, okay, all right, I'll do that. That's fine. But then I texted him and I said, pray. Maybe they'll send somebody who really, really needs to hear the gospel. Maybe it's somebody who's walked away from the Lord. And so all of a sudden, the Lord just switched my whole perspective on the situation. And so I started praying and praying and praying for this divine encounter that I was planning on getting my driver saved or whatever it was. Oh, I was ready. I was totally ready. And so anyway, I get off the airplane and go down the escalator, and at the bottom of the stairs are these two ladies. And so we said hi and made our introduction. I'm not joking that within the first 5 minutes, I felt like I'd known these two ladies my entire life. It was the sweetest. Now, honestly, I would have said that they were angels had I not known that they were already plugged into a community. But it was such a, it was such a God-ordained, incredible conversation. I mean, we were telling each other, we talked nonstop for 1.5 hours. And it was amazing. It was so sweet, and just shared the deepest things with one another. I mean, we were sharing just some of the broken places that we'd experienced in our lives, the pits that the Lord had rescued us out of. And in amidst our conversation, we were just speaking about who would ever, if they had to like just peek in on our conversation, hear that we were thanking God for some of those hardest trials. That's so not what the world would say. You know, the world says, when this happens to you, this is the result. You're broken forever. You've been abused. This is what happens. This has happened to you. This is the result of your life. It's failure. It's all of those things. You know, it's brokenheartedness forever. And with Jesus, we truly get to look back at those things. And he sets us free from those things, you know? And how, as believers, we comfort others with what we've been comforted. I mean, you've seen it time and time again. I've seen it with Jeremy. The Lord has used his testimony and opened doors, incredible opportunities for ministry because of the hard trials that he's gone through, you know? And so it really is, when you say there's death and there's life in Jesus, that we get to look back and truly thank God for the hardest trials. I mean, I look back as well and think, if I had not known what it was like to walk through that, I wouldn't be able to sit down with some young girls and say, I've been there. I know what that's like, but this is what you have in Jesus. And so when I look back at my life, I think, Lord, given the opportunity, I would walk through those things again, you know, because that's the power and of what we have in Jesus. I think so many times we want to embrace an abundant life without difficulty. We want an abundant life in Christ, failing to see that it requires death to our flesh first, you know. We've got three kids, two girls and a little boy. And the one day before my son was born, we took the girls out to get ice cream. And my youngest girl loves sweets. She's just like her mama. So chocolates, ice cream, candy, you name it all. She loves it. So we're sitting there, and Jeremy looks over at her and he goes, Ari, I love you this much. And so she looks at him with her little ice cream right here and she goes, Daddy, I love you this much. It was such a great illustration. Jeremy and I just looked at each other and we just went, wow. Is that so not like us? Jesus, I love you this much. Just don't take this thing right here, you know. I like it too much. And so, I mean, immediately it was just like the Holy Spirit totally just spoke to our hearts. You know, we do that so often. So often sometimes the wounded places that we've been are comfortable. We're familiar with them, the hard things. And although there's a part of us that wants to be set free, but it's familiar. And so this is what we're doing right here. Sometimes in areas that we struggle in, we almost position ourselves as close to the line as possible. It's like, perhaps here's the line and we'll just get as close to it as possible. And it's like, well, I'm not really crossing the line, you know, but we're not getting away from it either. And sometimes we plead with God to take things away from us. And we say, Jesus, please take it away. But he's going, you have to let it go. You know, he's not going to just take it. And it's like the monkey earlier on, you know, we've got our hand in there. We're going, let Jesus take it away. And he's saying, let go. You've got to let those things go. My mom-in-law, once again, we often talk about many times, and probably because it's a lesson that I feel like I have to learn so many times, but it's that same scenario again of just the reaction and the response, you know, and just speaking about the imagery of the dead man, that no matter how much he is poked, pricked, prodded, or whatever it is, there's never any rise. And so if we truly are dead to our flesh and those things are dead to us and sin is dead to us, there isn't any craving. There's no rise and desire for those things. Amy Carmichael says, for a cup brimful of sweet water cannot spill even one drip of bitter water, however suddenly jolted. Before we get discouraged and think, oh my, yeah, I've totally failed in that. Maybe, boy, have I missed the mark, whatever it is. It's so important for us to recognize, instead of looking at our failure, but recognize that we are broken vessels, that we need Jesus so much. You know, and the truth is, none of us walk in a perfected state always, all the time. That's our life ambition, our life goal. We're a work in progress. And sometimes the Lord allows the same types of situations because he just wants to draw out. And sometimes we can only handle a little bit, you know, and that's all right. He's so patient and so gracious to meet us where we are. And he knows that we're not capable of doing things and fixing everything right away. And so he is. He just patiently just works those things out of us. My oldest daughter, Bella, she's incredible. She's got such a strong will. But in a lot of ways, I mean, obviously, as a mom, it's hard sometimes. There have been very hard moments. But I see her heart for the Lord, and I really believe the Lord's going to use her mightily one day. We were going through a hard season with her. Well, I was going through a hard season with her. And just, I mean, constantly, everything was about her. She's 9, by the way. But I would just be like, Bells, honey, this is not about you. There's more people in the room. I'd make her name. Tell me who's in the room. Harry, Dad, Mom. Okay, this is not just about you. We need to think about everybody, you know. So the one day I walk into my bedroom, and there she is, face down in my pillow, just, oh, life is awful. It's so bad, you know. I'm like, honey, what's the matter, babe? And she's like, Mom, I've tried and I've tried, and I just can't stop thinking about myself. It was so priceless. But in that moment, I just thought, oh, isn't that all of us? You know, Lord, I've tried and I've tried, and I just can't stop thinking about myself. You know, the Lord is so gracious just to know that we're just dust, you know, and he'll meet us where we are. Like the paralyzed man, when he was lying on the mat, you know, the Lord said to him, take up your mat and walk, knowing full well he was paralyzed. He wasn't able to do it. But because he literally stepped out in faith, God gave him the ability to do something that he had never done before, you know? And so when you feel stuck and you feel paralyzed, just remember, we just have to surrender. It's an absolutely beautiful and glorious exchange that we get to give our broken, maimed, paralyzed, or whatever it is. And Jesus says, take your mat and walk, you know? And it's laying down our heavy burden and of ourself and all of the yuck stuff that can come with life and trading it for a life in Jesus. And like he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, who in the world would want to exchange dirty rags for an incredible and uncorruptible gift? It's Jesus, that's who. You know, that is really what we have in him. He gladly takes those things from us. And in Ecclesiastes, it says he makes everything beautiful in its time. I love my pastor whenever he gets to those points. He goes, you know what the Greek word is for everything? It's everything. All, everything. Got everything covered, that over time, God knows it's a process. He takes everything and makes it beautiful in its time. Although sometimes, you know, it may hurt when the Lord's prodding and prying out some of those areas, or it may hurt in some of those things, but he truly knows how to breathe life and freedom back into us. And who better to do it than the Lord himself? So we would ask ourselves the question, how do we get to the place where we have the right heart response? How do we get to the place where, like the dead man, when we're pricked and prodded, there's no rise? And the way is to, like John tells us, to abide. It says, abide in me, and that's Jesus, and you will bear much fruit. We can't expect to have victory in our battles without arming ourselves correctly. You know, no soldier goes onto the battleground without his weapons and without being protected, you know. And we need to hide God's word in our heart. David says, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so we need to abide. It's a daily feasting on God's word. We can ask ourselves questions. It's different checkpoints that we get to ask. Where are our thoughts going first? You know, what are you filling your time with? I think, you know, sometimes they're hard questions to ask ourselves, but we've got to be honest. You know, what is it that... When you just know, you know, sometimes those situations happen and you just feel it in your heart. It's that, ugh, it's like, okay, all right, Lord, there it is. You know, let me bring that to the Lord and see what it is that God's trying to teach us in that. You know, I know that sometimes we do end up in difficult circumstances, and it doesn't really matter how we ended up in that place, but what is God trying to teach us in it? And so I know, please hear my heart in this, I know that things happen to you that are very, very difficult, hard trials. And so I'm not trying to make light of those things at all. But I promise you that in the many trials that even in my life that I've walked through, even like I was saying earlier on, you really can look back and see God's hand in it. You know, that even in the pain that God protects us, and he uses every situation to shape us and draw us closer to him. And is it easy? Not at all. But nobody ever said it would be, you know? And so, but one day it will absolutely be worth it. And when we stand in front of our Savior and all of the weight of the world falls away completely and we never have to taste any of those things again, it absolutely will be worth it. And so all the hard work that we pour into our lives of arming ourselves and denying our flesh now is absolutely going to be worth it. A friend of ours wrote a song called Tomorrow's Freedom is Today's Surrender. And the seeds we sow today is the harvest that we'll reap tomorrow. If we sow to the flesh, you better believe to the flesh we'll reap. And if we sow to the spirit we'll reap. I heard Kay Smith once say that there are two dogs at war with each other. And the one who wins is the one that'll be fed the most. We have to deliberately do things to offset the flesh, especially in a culture that is bombarding us with messages constantly, and it's just going to get worse and worse. We have to deliberately offset the flesh, and not just offset the flesh, but deliberately build the spirit as well. The natural man, the carnal man to itself, will just grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And so we've got to make sure we're intentional about the things that we do and the choices that we make and the things we allow in by making sure we're offsetting the flesh. John 3:30 says, he must increase and I must decrease. Isn't that such a great prayer? More of you, Jesus, and less of me. I think I heard somebody was teaching once and they were speaking about that they have the little window markers and on their mirror in the bathroom, they just wrote in big, it's not about me. And I thought, wow, that would be such a good morning, like good morning, brushing your teeth. Yep, it's not about me. It's totally about Jesus. You know, more of you, Lord, and less of me. Somebody really, really close to me just recently gave up on her marriage. Huh. so sad, you guys. After 15 years. And she believes that God would not allow her to endure any more than she can handle. And she just couldn't handle it anymore. And unfortunately, she has three beautiful children that are going to suffer for it. You see, when we wrongly look to the world to be what feeds our mind, we think things should look a certain way. We get so caught up and... honestly, I begged her. I just said, please, because I love you, I'm just telling you, this is the worst decision you could ever make. Please trust me. You know, because I just thought, I don't want to be quiet. I don't want her years down the line to look back and just say, why didn't somebody tell me? You know? And so I just was going, I'm going to tell you, even if it means you will reject me, it's okay. I'm willing to lay that down in order for you to know the truth, because I can see how the enemy has crept in, you know, and before any one of us think, oh, I can't believe she does that, or that girl did that, or any one of our friends, it could be any one of us. None of us are exempt from those things. We're not, you know, we have to apply God's word to our life. Oh, it starts in the little things, you know, it's the little seeds. It doesn't all of a sudden just appear to be this massive thing one day. It's in the very, very, very little things. And if we don't take care of those things, and if we're not applying God's word to our lives, you know, it'll grow. And we'll end up, you know, a friend of mine, I remember her saying to me, she would just say, it's like getting a little click off. You know, here's the mark, and there's that click off. And right here, it doesn't seem that bad. But further on down the line, and we're so far down the line, and we're so far missing the mark. And by that time, the enemy has us. We're blinded that even when people who love you can stand up and say, don't do this, we don't see it. You know? It's not about, like I said, she wrongly applied scripture, saying, I don't believe God would let me do something that I can't endure. It's not about what we can endure. It's absolutely about us coming to the very end of ourselves so that Jesus can be there. You know, and sometimes it does take little acts of faith and obedience. You know, if I can be transparent with you guys for a minute, first of all, I want to tell you, I love the Word of God. It has transformed my life so much. If I can tell you some of the things I used to say, the things that I used to think before really diving into God's Word, I'm not going to tell you because I would totally embarrass myself. But I'm just telling you, God's Word is... it does transform us. It renews our minds and our hearts, you know. But there'll be times, and I'm going to be honest with you, that I don't always feel like reading my Bible. There are times that I actually don't have a heart for the lost. I'm tired. I want to go and be with Jesus. I have those moments. As much as it is an honor, I love the Word of God. I love being in prayer. But I don't sometimes want to wake up before my kids. Some days, I just want to sleep in. Some days, I don't want to do dishes and I don't want to do laundry. The endless chores and the little things, you know. I'm just tired of it all. And some of those things, you know, I know that they're silly. But at the end of the day, I know what God's heart is for me in those things. I know that God wants me to hunger for His word. I know that He loves the lost. And like there's a song that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. You know, and that is my cry. But there's days where maybe I don't feel like that. But because I know there is nothing that I can hide from God, that He knows all of who I am, I come before Him and I will just say, Lord, I don't feel like it today, but I know your heart for me. And I know that I get to come weak and tired and get to give those things to you and just say, please, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? You know, we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit, you know? And so sometimes we are weak. It's like the paralyzed man. I'm on the mat, Lord. I'm tired. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you the ability to walk these things out. And so when we look at the life of Christ, it is a huge list. It absolutely is. But God will give us the ability to walk out what he's asking us to. You know, he's not just giving us a list and saying, well, there you go. Have fun with that one, you know. He doesn't do that. He meets us where we are. He meets us in our trials. He meets us in the good days. He loves joy and celebrating those moments with us too. You know, he absolutely will refresh us when we're tired and just supernaturally give us the ability to walk out those things. And sometimes what does that look like for us? I know for me, it's just simply getting on my knees in the shower for some reason. I don't know why, but... You know, like Jesus said, in this world, we will face trials of many kinds. And so we have to find ourselves at the foot of the cross, you know, pouring out our hearts to God. He knows. We don't need to hide those things from him. You know, I think it's funny in Genesis when after Adam and Eve sinned, they went and hid, like the Lord didn't know where they were. But that's us. It's like really, you know, really by God saying, Adam, where are you? It's not because he doesn't already know. It's because he's giving us an opportunity to respond to him. Jesus offers us living water that will satisfy our every single thirst. And we will not want anything else except for him. And we'll be satisfied when we're drinking from the right source. You know, we're not satisfied when we're looking to the world. When we're looking to the world to tell us who we are, we feel insecure. We don't measure up. Nobody's ever perfect enough, you know. But when we look to the Lord, he absolutely will satisfy all of who we are. And, yeah, and we get to find all of who we are in him. It's springtime. Yay! And what a long and hard winter it was. I grew up in South Africa, and so the California-type weather is totally what I grew up with. And so sometimes the gray skies and the dreary in Nashville, I hate it. It's my little mini silly cross in that moment. But with the spring, you know, all the beautiful flowers are springing up. But along with all of that comes the weeds, which I hate. It's so frustrating. Everything's green and beautiful. You know, all the lilies are starting to spring up and all of those things. But along with that are the weeds. And I don't know about you guys. I love being outside and I love being in the garden. And when I'm out there, oftentimes the Lord will speak to me and show me little things through, you know, pruning and cutting back things and the weeding thing. The other day I was in the yard and as I was pulling out the weeds, I thought, you know, one thing I've learned is that the best way to pull out the weeds is you want to get them right away, as soon as you see them. You know, because if you leave them there, they're just going to grow deeper and deeper, and they're really hard to get out. Another thing is you want to get as close to the root as possible and pull it out, because if you don't do that and you just pull off the leaves, you know what's going to happen. It just grows right back. Another really, really good time to weed is after a spring shower. And the rain falls down and the ground is no longer hard and dry, but it's soft and pliable. And you can get your fingers down in there and pull those things out. Now, I'm sure you guys are totally tracking with me. But the little weeds in our lives, you know, and what are some of those things? Time spent with the Lord and in the Spirit, just kneeling at his feet is like a good soaking of rain. You know, we can't do these things of ourselves, and the Lord knows that. And so we get to come and sit at his feet and allow the Master Gardener to dig his hands in our heart. You know, and so I would just ask you even now, what are those things that the Lord may be asking you to surrender to him? Perhaps they're new little things, little weeds, maybe that they've just sprung out, just new little things, maybe a new reaction that you recognize in your heart, like, oh, yeah, that was kind of gross, you know? And we can just allow the Lord to just dig in there and pull those things. Maybe it's something that the Lord's been prodding and shining a light on your heart for a long time. Maybe it's through unfair and hard circumstances, rejection from family members or friends, hard things that people have said or done to you, and the Lord's going, I want that. You need to give it to me. And so I just would pray that, I'm not quite finished, but in closing, I'm going to play a couple songs for you guys. And I would just pray that just as you seek your heart, that you would, and if, there may be nothing, you know, but just keep that prayerful attitude of just saying, Father, I do submit myself to you, you know, and if there is anything that perhaps you want to pull out of my life, or maybe ask the Lord, be brave enough to ask him to show you, you know. We can trust him. He's good and he loves us. And all of those growth things, we know it's for our good. We get to draw close to him when all of those yuck things, you know, the world once again will tell us that the freedoms we have, you know, they're false freedoms. We end up being more bound. And the Lord recognizes those things and he wants to pull them out of our hearts, you know. It's the death that we learn to surrender and give up in order that the life of Christ may live. In Galatians 5:25, it says, since it is through the Spirit that we have life, let it also be through the Spirit that we order our lives daily. I love when Scripture gives us a day-to-day application. It's like, okay, he's saying that through the Spirit, every single day we get to order our lives. And let this not be in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. May Jesus be more to us than just a great example. May he be the very fire in our hearts. May he be our passion in everything that we long for. May the cares of the world and all those little weeds just be rid of the garden of our hearts. You know, may he be the one that is our goal and our sight, that we truly are excited and longing for him to return, and so excited that we want to take all of our brothers and sisters along with us, those that don't know him. May we remember to sit at his feet and be filled with the Spirit in the yielding of our whole hearts. And can we count on receiving the full life of the Spirit? I'm always amazed just by Jesus and his surrender. I mean, it just absolutely blows me away that even till the very last breath, that it was always all about the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. You know, I want so much more out of my life with Christ. I just think some days I just feel like, oh, Lord, I feel like a little kid. Like, I just want to be so much deeper. I want to be in the deepest part of the river, under the water, you know, just with Jesus, and just that he is my just all-consuming fire for me, you know. I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of my flesh. I'm tired of the times that I try to perfect in the flesh something he started in the Spirit. Because I can see my yucky pores in it, you know. It's like beautiful crystal clear water, and then I'm like, I've got it. Muddle, muddle, muddle. And it's like, it just is not the same, you know. And somehow we just take, I don't know, sometimes I don't always learn that lesson very quickly. I'm tired of all those things. I want the Lord to burn in my heart so much more. I want to not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. I want you guys to be encouraged. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it and perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm just going to say that again, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Remember Ecclesiastes again, he makes everything beautiful in his time. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you will show or proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Father, I know that this is in many ways, Lord, it's a day-to-day thing, Lord. It's a lifelong goal, Lord Jesus, that I know even in my heart, there's so many areas that I can see. I need so much more of you and so much less of me, Lord God. And Father, we don't say these words flippantly, Lord Jesus, but with our true heart's cry, we invite you, Father, to set us free, Lord God. We invite you to show us the areas that are hindering us, perhaps, Lord God. We ask you, Father, to help us to surrender to you even greater, Lord God. And Lord, even when we feel like we don't have the ability, we ask you to give us the ability, Lord God, to walk out in your spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you love us, that you've forgiven us, that you give us full life and abundance in you. And so I do pray that you would help us to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, Lord, when the world is giving us every right that it's about us. Father, that we would deny our rights, we would lay down our rights and our preferences and just be more and more in love with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.
And all who are thirsty, and all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream.
Thank you, Father. We ask you again, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would fill us up and send us out, Lord Jesus, to a dying and a lost world, Lord. We pray that your heart would be ours, Lord Jesus, that we would understand and know what it is
to carry the death of you so the life of you may live in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.